You're listening to SBS News.
When the SARS outbreak reached Hong Kong, it hit hard and it hit fast. Case 1 emerged in February 2003. A hospital worker from China who had been treating SARS patients in Guangzhou. He arrived in Hong Kong to attend a family wedding. Despite feeling ill, he visited family and travelled around the densely populated region, spreading the virus to hundreds of people. Over the next 3 months, over 1,750 cases were identified and nearly 300 people died of the disease, the SARS fatality rate in Hong Kong reaching a terrifying 17%. The Princess Margaret Hospital became a dedicated SARS response facility. Dr. Lily Chu was the facility's chief executive. She says at its peak, the hospital was admitting up to 100 patients a day, with the number of beds in intensive care tripling in the first week.
Everything happened very fast. Really, it was just like a tsunami. We have not been exposed to such huge onslaught of a very infectious disease.
Staff worked around the clock, many not returning home for weeks at a time. Their mental health became a foremost concern for Dr. Lily Chu. She arranged accommodation for staff members at risk of contracting the disease. She arranged groceries to be delivered to their families and mental health support programs for those working on the front lines.
To make them feel that they don't need to feel lonely, isolated. You just put me in the front line and you leave me to fight to die.
Retrospective studies found over 10% of those who worked in the SARS outbreak or were affected by the disease showed signs of post-traumatic stress disorder. Mental health experts say COVID-19 is a much bigger beast. Professor Richard Bryant, director of the Traumatic Stress Clinic at the University of New South Wales, says the length of the COVID pandemic with its recurrent lockdowns and financial strain means the toll on mental health will be widespread.
If we look at countries who are ahead of Australia in terms of vaccinations and easing restrictions, even there we see that the anxiety and depression, loneliness is actually increasing, as well as the suicide rates.
Melbourne resident Spiros Vassilakis deals with surges of anxiety every time he hears the daily case numbers.
Mind-wise, it really sets you back. It is traumatising. It is traumatising because it just doesn't let up. You try to move forward and you can't do it.
He lost his mother to COVID in July last year when the virus infiltrated her nursing home. In the weeks following, he also contracted the virus along with his wife and sister. They all now live with the ongoing health impacts of COVID and the trauma of being impacted on multiple levels.
Mentally though, it's drained. It's drained me. I tried to go back to work, just wasn't in the frame of mind to actually participate.
Melbourne GP Stacey Harris says before COVID, she would see a handful of patients seeking mental help for mental ill health each week, but now she says it's almost every appointment.
I can't refer anyone to private psychiatrists. Most of them have closed their books. So all these people have that are really, really borderline have to go to hospital.
Bureau of Statistics figures show 1 in 5 Australians are reporting high or very high levels of psychological distress linked to the pandemic. In Victoria, the statistic is even higher, with 27% of the population struggling to cope. A recent survey by the ABS showing each surge of COVID leads to greater mental health impacts, with the recent Victorian outbreak leading to almost one-third of people reporting feelings associated with depression and anxiety. Those most affected are women, younger Australians, and those with pre-existing mental health conditions. Dr. Stacey Harris says in her experience, the mental health impacts of the virus don't decrease when the case numbers drop.
Things sort of got back to normal in January, February, but I was seeing people that didn't get help last year with the lockdowns, and they were coming in now saying, you know, look, I know it's after the fact, but I'm really suffering. I really suffered last year in the lockdowns. So, and that just kept going.
Mental health experts predict a significant proportion of Australia's population will be left with psychological fallout from COVID-19, with some estimations putting the figure as high as 20%. Professor Richard Bryant says Australia has the benefit of observing countries like the United Kingdom that are further along in assessing their mental health legacy of the pandemic.
One in four people are still reporting marked loneliness, and it is going to be an issue because people are not just going to go back to the world or the life that they had before COVID. We're still going to have a lot of restrictions in place. A lot of people's plans that have already been interrupted, schooling, university, careers, relationships. These are not going to bounce back overnight.
He says people must learn new skills and new mechanisms to cope moving forward. UNSW, in collaboration with the World Health Organization, has created a new mental health treatment program consisting of group video conferencing sessions with a clinical psychologist covering skills to manage stress and worries resulting from the pandemic. The approach focuses on boosting moods, with trials showing positive results for improved mental health outcomes. Professor Bryant says now is the time to establish sustainable and accessible mental health programs to ensure Australia has a psychological roadmap out of COVID. Abby Dinham, SBS News.